Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right. Well, happy Tuesday, everyone. Happy Tuesday. If it is Tuesday, it is
Physical Wellness Day.
For those of you who are just joining us for the very first time, we have a model that we follow for this daily Dad Up Radio Show. We try our very best to inspire, to encourage fathers and father figures to become better spies. Spies stands for spiritual development. So on Mondays, we focus on that aspect. I want you to imagine a car that has five tires. We want to make sure that they are all balanced. On Tuesdays, which is today, we look at the physical well-being of men and fathers. On Wednesdays, we look at the intellectual / the mental health. On Thursdays, we have a look at the emotional wellness of fathers and father figures. And by the way, you cannot miss this Thursday coming up. You cannot. And then on Friday, we look at the social life of dad. So, welcome to this show, and it is a wonderful opportunity that we have to speak to and with our fathers and father figures. Charles, how are you today, my brother?
Wonderful, man. Wonderful, man. It's physical day. Had a great workout. Feeling good.
Oh, boy.
Did I shame you?
The day's still early, so I'll catch up.
Didn't mean to shame you.
All right. We have a special guest in the house today, and I am so excited to have with us, I wouldn't be wrong if I say an angel.
True.
Right? That's seriously, true. Because his name is Angel. I mean, come on, Angel. What's up with that name? I can understand why my parents gave me the name Seamus. They ran out of names. But what were you like? Why did your parents?
My mom told me straight up that, you know, hey, I looked down and I saw an angel. I guess I was supposed to be named after my dad, but that didn't work out. So,
well, listen, welcome to the
show. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, my brother. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I think we'll all agree that life is a gift.
Yes.
Yes.
Life and good health is a great gift.
Yes, it is.
Life with good health and a ongoing relationship with God is an even greater gift.
Like the ultimate.
The ultimate.
Yes.
And one of the reasons we have Angel with us today is that he has a story to tell. Between us, or should I say among us, my English teacher would say, he is the youngest of the three of us. We won't count numbers.
Yes.
But something happened, Angel, that changed your life. And before you get to that date, it is fair to say you were a relatively healthy guy. I mean, eating right, all that sort of wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife would go hiking. We would go to different places. You know, we would go to North Carolina, spend a couple days up there and just hike around and things like that. We loved the outdoors and biking, you know, you name it. We tried to do it and had fun and eat healthy as well, you know, the best we could.
One day your company put on, it wasn't a health fair. Explain what that was.
So my company has kind of like a, you know, you have HSA, right? You know, where you get credits. So they were offering credits for if you get a physical, if you see a doctor or anything like that. So,
and that was open to all employees?
That was open to all employees.
And it was optional?
It was optional, yes.
So you decided, even though you were a hiking, striking, healthy young man, you decided you're just going to go check them out?
It was more about the credits. I'm all about saving money. So
okay,
me and my wife are a little frugal. So yeah, you know, selfishly, it was about the credit.
All right. And you went and explain what transpired.
So I went to see the nurse practitioner and kind of talked about what was going on. And so I'm sitting there and, you know, she's going through her routine, asking questions, you know, how's this, how's that, and answering them. And at the very last second, she's like, hey, do you have anything else? And so the weekend before, I was doing a cabinet. I was putting a packed cabinet together. And as I was standing up, I was feeling dizzy. And I just mentioned it. I said, hey, you know, I've been feeling dizzy lately. It feels like vertigo when I stand up and things like that. And so she was like, all right, let's do some more tests. Let's see what's going on. And yeah, that's how I kind of moved in from there.
And the tests that she did, was it then and there, or did she pull blood and you'd have to wait for...
It was a mixture of both. She, I remember her saying, well, why don't we do some blood work, right? So we'll have you sit down, take your blood pressure, stand up, take your blood pressure, lay down, take your blood pressure, and kind of do some stuff like that. And, you know, that's when she realized there was a huge drastic difference between when I was sitting down and standing up. And so then she decided to order some blood work after that.
You and I had spoken before, so I know a little bit of the background story. You would probably have just walked out of the office if she probably hadn't asked anything else?
That is correct, yeah. I would have probably just said, you know, like anything else, yep, I'm all set, thank you. You know, kind of the old dad adage of, you know, if it's not broken, you know, don't worry about it.
Don't fix it.
Right. So,
don't attempt to fix it.
Yeah, yeah. So I just, you know, I would have walked out, yeah.
So let me tell you this, listening audience and Chuck, Charles, before I go any further, when I spoke with Angel, it dawned upon me that there was something that I probably needed to do. I do it with my car, so probably I should do it with my body. If I'm going to do an oil change, I should not just go for an oil change unless that's what I want, but I should make a note of the other noises that I hear or something that I observe. Oh, I saw a light that flashed up. It went, but it came up. So I have a list of the things that probably need to be looked at, because I find myself, honestly, having been to the doctor for one thing, but I said, there should be something else. And it's when I come out, I thought, I should have. Because I mentioned that noise that I heard, that oil change that I didn't have. I'm talking about my doctor now. So just having a list of things. Because quite honestly, for you, had you not been asked that question, you'd probably had walked out.
Yeah, I'd probably walked out. And you're right, like, you know, when I take my truck in for service, I'm asking all types of questions and, hey, I hear this or I hear that, you know, and you kind of go overboard on your truck or your other mechanical stuff, just not our bodies.
Yeah.
But then she said something to you even before the tests came back, even the results. She said something to you that got you really sort of mad.
Yeah, it really boiled me. She instantly said, I think you have cancer. And so I was furious. I didn't yell at her or anything. I just took it in and just went home. And I was talking to my wife, and I was like, she said I had cancer, and this is not right. You know, she didn't even have a test. She didn't have any of the results. And, you know, how can she say that? And my wife was like, well, what if she's right? And I just stood there, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, what if she is right? And personally, I'm taking it like, you know, I come from a generation where, you know, you get cancer, it's automatic, you know, and things like that. And so my mind was wheeling and kind of going in all different directions. And but there was no test results. So at the end of the day, I'm saying, all right, it's nothing.
You
don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
Right. So that's kind of like how I kind of push it to the back end.
And then the results came in.
Yeah, the results came in, and my hemoglobin and my iron were really, really low. You know, they're below the norms. So then she kind of ordered some colonoscopy and endoscopy for me to get performed.
Hmm. You know, this it's great that she asked the question, because there are a lot of doctors that do ask the questions, and most men, they will say, nah, I don't have any more questions, so they'll stop asking. So it's great that nurse practitioner and woman's intuition, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
She asked the question, and you were able to answer.
No, but I also think, too, is, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, I've seen doctors before the nurse practitioner. She was the only one listening. She wasn't looking at her computer.
Oh, wow.
She was, you know, like every other doctor that I've seen, they're in their computer head down and just asking questions, and it's not personable anymore.
Mm.
You know, that's one thing I've realized is, you know, this nurse, you know, she took it out of her way to really look me eye to eye and kind of ask the questions. So I appreciate that.
Mm. And so things got a little bit worse because you got that result, things, hemoglobin and all that low, and then what happened after?
So February 18th, and it's interesting, you start remembering dates, you know, on all this stuff, but I had cancer. I remember waking up, and they told me right then and there with my wife, and, you know, I felt it was a death sentence the minute she said it, and I shut down. I literally shut down, went home, and just went straight to sleep. Me and my wife, it was just silence, you know, driving home and being home. It was just complete silence. And I was shocked. I had fear. I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't sleep through the night, you know.
You have a wonderful daughter, don't you?
I do, yeah.
How did she handle that?
She took it hard. I think we all did. We all took it hard. And I think part of it is, you know, we know a lot of people that have, you know, battled cancer and lost to cancer. So, you know, and that's the part that kind of hurts is that, you know, they just tell you have cancer, but you don't know until you get further tests and you get down that road. So it's like the unknown. You don't know where you're going. Mm.
So, Charles, there are several things running through my mind. One is the need for us as guys, as dads, to do preventive. Mm-hmm. Those checkups rather than waiting until something happens. Mm-hmm. And then it's, what do you do when reality hits you? And I'm going to come to you in a minute, mm-hmm. back to you, Angel, but.
Well, I believe, and it may not have happened in his case because he was healthy and active and everything, but we all have those lights that come on at some point where you're going along and it's like, oh, that didn't feel right. But then you ignore it.
Almost like you'll see that amber light or whatever it is on the dashboard and it doesn't stay. So you think it must be just a fluke.
Yeah, because I've known some people that were just going along, feeling great, and something will alert them that something may be wrong. And it's usually men. And we just push right past it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that maybe was a twinge of hurt right then, but it stopped. I'm just going to keep going.
Right.
Instead of telling your wife or getting it checked out.
So, Angel, fear. We're told repeatedly in the Word of God, fear not. Mm. But that does not mean we shouldn't feel fear, because it's a human emotion given to us by God. Yeah. And it sounds as though initially that fear froze you. You were sort of debilitated. You went straight to bed and shut down for a moment.
Yeah.
Until you said what to yourself?
So it's literally the following moment, finally morning. So I spent 8 years in the military. I was in infantry, you know, and the mission needs to continue. So my mindset changed to that. The mission needs to continue. The mission is to survive and to do whatever it takes to go. And I'm also a project manager, so the project manager side kicked in as well as who, what, when, where, why, and how. And, you know, I started doing everything I could to, you know, make this go away or, you know, get through this. Interestingly enough, you know, the first thing I did was open the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one verse that came to, you know, that I saw when I instantly opened it was, you know, when I am afraid, you know, I put my trust in you. Psalms 53:3 or 56:3. And so that was one area that, you know, kind of helped me kind of initially get through it. The military mindset was embrace the suck. Let's keep going, you know, and just, you know, whatever it takes to make this work.
The fear, what was it that you feared? Dying, leaving your family? What was it that you feared the most?
So, you know, my mind, I'm kind of the linchpin in my household, right? You know, anything goes wrong,
you're Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, Mr. Fix-It, you know. I fix the cars, I fix the house, I fix, you know, whatever comes on. I guess you can say I'm YouTube certified. and so, you know, I am looking at things differently and how do I make this better? And, you know, my wife, my kids, they come to me all the time asking me, hey, can I help with my homework? Can I, you know, do this, do that? And that mindset had to change. It was no longer being the protector. It's how is my family going to survive without me? Sorry.
No problem, man.
It was, you know, how is my family going to survive without me? How is, you know, and little things started changing, you know, like I'm Mr. Grill. Anytime we're cooking on a grill, it's, hey, can we have burgers? Yeah, I got it. I changed the mindset. I told my daughter, when she asked me one day, I said, hey, can we have burgers? I said, yeah, come on, let me show you how to use the grill, you know, and things like that. That was a mindset that I had to start having because I was afraid I was no longer going to be around. So, yeah.
Part of our job, and I dare say responsibility and privilege, is to be there mm-hmm. for our children and our families. That's mm-hmm. that's a God-given responsibility and privilege. And there are times we can't be there because of physical limitations, which is why, Charles, when we dedicate Tuesdays to physical health, we're saying to our fathers and our father figures what?
We're saying we must do what we have to do to be there and be there totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're there, but we're checked out because my mind may be on something else, or our attention may be on something else, even though we're there in the home. But we have to be more diligent in taking care of ourselves, taking care of our spiritual, physical, intellectual, emotional, social, and check in with our children and our family to know. Because sometimes we can be in the home and the children may see us occupied with something and they don't want to bother us.
Right.
And they have to know that it's okay to come in. Hey, I'll stop what I'm doing and listen to you because you're important. You matter. I love you. So don't hold it in. And we have to be the same way as far as with our families and our wives.
But I think also as a parent, we kind of have to make those ground rules, right?
Yes.
We kind of have to tell them it's not, you know, a lot of times it's not spoken. It's one of those yes. unspoken things, right? And
that's
so
true.
We have to push that onto our family and say, hey, if I'm doing something, you need me, go ahead and ask.
Yes.
And I'll tell you if I can help you right then or there or not, right? And if we'll basically work it out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Know? I think we have a very good model for that. So think of the role of the president. Please hear me out here. Not going political here on you, mm-hmm. but think of the role of the president who has kids. Mm-hmm. If he's in this room like we are right now, having a top meeting, you need to get security pass and permission to come in. But if his daughter or his son needs daddy,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
that's a different thing completely.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
and God, the master, the CEO of the universe, we have access to him and we just, should I say, interrupt him anytime,
yes.
for want of a better word. We have equal access to him, unlimited access to him. And as parents, we need to create that atmosphere. Kids, mm-hmm. yes, they need to know that there are some things that dad needs to focus on, but they come first.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And what just came to mind was the woman with the issue of blood. As Jesus was walking along with his disciples and the people all around him and touching him and everything, when she touched the hem, his attention automatically went to, okay, something different happened. Even though he had all these people around him, he knew there was something special.
Yep.
And he turned to her.
I heard something recently that I think is mind-blowing. God doesn't just love all of us. He loves each of us.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
And for you, Angel, you changed your mindset. And I think that's something that probably all of us need to do yeah. before something happens. Is I've known of families who dad was the man. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes as men, there is something about our ego that makes us feel, oh yeah, I'm the man. I'll fix it. I'll cook it. I'll clean it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if he dies or if he disappears, nobody knows how to handle anything. Checkbooks, mortgage, nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm hearing you say that jolt sort of got you thinking I need to change things a little.
Yeah, and I mean, me and my wife would sit down and I would show her how to do the checkbooks, you know, and how I was doing all the stuff. So yeah, it really profound a change of mindset in my household.
I even heard you mention oil change. Have you gone that far?
I've done oil changes, yeah, and you know, and so I've kind of verbally told my daughter how to do
how
it.
To do
during
it.
The time we didn't do any, we didn't have to, so we just kind of went to the local lube place and had him do it.
Okay, so we're going to come back because I want to hear more. We all need to hear more because you're here healthy.
Yes.
So something happened. So let's talk about the fact that we at the Dadult Radio Show, the Father-Child Connection, we're a nonprofit organization and we exist to empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children, as well as to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. And we can't do this without your help. So we're asking for, one, your prayers. Two, we're asking for your hours. We're asking for at least 1 hour per week. Three, we ask for your dollars. It takes money to run an organization, any organization, not to mention a nonprofit. So we're asking you to do that. And we're going to give a tally of the number of people who have signed up because we have a mission to sign up 100 dads before the end of August. What date is today, man?
Today is the 19th.
Man, we are so far away from that. Dad Up 1000. One of the people and one of the companies that have stepped up to sponsor us is the Nuzzle Nolden Pest Control and Lawn Care Company. Please give them a call. Their number is 561-823-2173. That's 561-823-2173. Angel, let's get back to you. Treatment, I presume, started.
So actually, not really. It started with more tests.
Oh.
CT scans, you know, trying to figure out if it's, you know, this is spread to anywhere else. And then, you know, and that was the thing that kind of took a toll was having to go repeatedly back to the doctors for more tests. And so that became, I would say, depressing because I was still not getting any answers. I think this was kind of at my lowest point. And I think the biggest thing that really helped was, you know, I had one of the brothers at the church ask, you know, just met up and kind of saying, hey, how's it going? I see that you're kind of fatigued, you know, everything okay? And I told him. And then his next question was, is it okay if I tell the other brothers? And I said, yeah, go ahead. I'm okay with it. I need all the prayers I can get. And March 2nd, which is another day that kind of, you know, I remember is we were at church and Pastor Portia Lerner Church, pastor was found out that I had cancer, or he knew that I was sick. And so he decided to have the entire church, all the men, mm-hmm. come and put hands on me and prayed for me. I'm going to have to say when the entire church put their hands on me, I felt protected and I felt relief. I had a feeling that I was healed. I had a feeling that everything was going to be all right. And so it was just warmth. I felt that protection. I felt that relief. And
so before you even go as to where things are at right now, let's go back a little bit. One, you were observed as not firing on all six cylinders, and a brother noticed that.
Yeah.
I think it's Paul, right?
Yeah, it was Paul.
Hey, man. No wonder he's called Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
St. Paul. Go. Hey, you're listening out there. Give me a text, man.
All right.
We should go fishing again, too, Paul.
So he noticed that, and he asked permission to tell the other brothers,
not
to gossip to the other brothers,
right.
to tell for moral support, spiritual support,
that
which is
correct.
What fathers and fatherhood should be about, fathers helping fathers.
Yes.
And then you were prayed for and you felt different.
Now it felt
as if it wasn't just you and your family alone. You had an army behind you.
It felt great. It felt, you know, I felt I had support, not just from my family, but from everybody else around me.
And by the way, I know you are a believer, but that news shook you to the core for a little while, didn't it?
It helped me through until surgery. It helped me all the way through to, you know, feel that I had not just my, you know, surrounding support, but my spiritual support, you know. So, you know, my all three aspects of my life, spiritual, physical, and, you know, mental, was right. It was doing very well.
We're almost out of time. And I really do believe the rest of your story needs to be told, Angel. I thank you for sharing your story. Bottom line is, we guys, men, dads, we need to be proactive.
Yes.
Even if the initial motive was just to save some money, you want to save your life. Because being there for your children is not just being the person who provides and all that, but being there physically. And even if you're there physically, to be there physically and healthy. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness we are able to access healthcare. Yeah, we have complaints, but we do have.
We act on those gauges in our trucks or cars when they flash. When something flashes in us, we must do the same thing. You have to act on it.
But I also say, treat your doctor as your mechanic.
All right, asking him,
you know, like, why do I need to replace this? What is it going to do? You know, so ask those questions. That's how I always say.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point, because it can be intimidating. This man or woman in white suit in front of you who knows everything about you or about the body and you don't, there can be a power dynamic there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one, you're the one paying. Two, it's your body.
Exactly.
So ask questions.
Yeah. And a lot of times they will say, do you have any questions for me? And I know a lot of men will say, no, I've done it myself. Yeah. No, I don't have any questions.
Even though you're walking out with a back pain.
Yes. I've changed that.
I appreciate you, Angel. I thanks. We are going to continue this conversation because, again, we want to encourage our fathers and father figures. And by the way, healthy lifestyle is where it starts. But even with healthy lifestyles, things go wrong sometimes because you're the hiking, biking man. So life happens. But there is hope. There is hope.
Yes. There's always hope.
We have a minute or so left. Let me ask you, Angel, this is not your final word, but what would you say to the dads and father figures listening out there?
Yeah, like I said, is, you know, keep up the good fight and question everything, you know, and be strong. You know, you'll be surprised that your support system is there. And, you know, it's okay to ask for help.
And by the way, thank you for your service to this country. We appreciate you. Well, this is it for now. Mm-hmm. We invite you to join us again, and please call 561-229-2379 or text that very same number, 561-229-2379. We would like to hear from you. We would like you to be part of DadUp 1000. We are on a mission to change the landscape of fatherhood in our local community and across the region. God bless and have a great day.
DadUp.
Thanks for joining us today on the DadUp Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.